Heavenly Father, we thank you for music. We thank you for the truth that it presents. Father, we thank you that our offertory this morning pointed very clearly to the fact that Jesus gave his life that wretches like us could be saved, and that we will glory only in him. We thank you, Father, for John's harmonica specials, that someone threw out the lifeline to us who know Christ as Savior. And because we have put our faith and trust in Jesus, we now have a hope for eternity and look forward to the day when Christ shall come and take us home to be with him. So we thank you, Lord, for the gospel witness being presented in music. We thank you for the reassuring congregational singing that we had to remind us of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, of what a friend he is, what a hope we have in him, and the eternal life that we have because he gave his life in ransom for our sin. And so, Father, we look now to you to be with us here in the auditorium as well as in the children's church. And, Father, that the Spirit of God will do a work that only he can do. Take now the truth of your word and apply it to our lives. And we thank you, Father, for this opportunity to preach. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. Let's take our Bibles and go back to Proverbs chapter number 1. I want to thank all of those who covered for myself while I was gone. I appreciate that very much, and I know they did a wonderful job, and I appreciate that as well. We are living in a day where we see a great display of worldly wisdom in our governmental leaders, in places where we work, in life in general. There is a great move on depending on the wisdom of the world. And the wisdom of the world is good if you're trying to deal with life in the world as the world deals with life. Now that may seem a bit confusing. You have to think about that once you take it home and chew on it a while. But I can just simply say this. As the world deals with life, it's not a good way. We look at the things that are happening in America, around the world. We see the unrest. We see the wars and rumors of wars. We see the difficulties and events that are taking place. And it seems the more we see these events happen and the more people should be turning to God because of these events, people seem to be thriving on their own wisdom and ability and see no need of God. As we look at the book of Proverbs, we find that wisdom is addressed. Wisdom pretty much does the speaking. So we're going to look today at wisdom itself and some of the things that we learn about wisdom and wisdom's relationship to people. We're going to be honing in on the verses, verse number 20 through 33. We read those verses in their entirety this morning, and I trust that they were an encouragement and blessing to your heart. First of all, I want us to see wisdom introduced. Wisdom is introduced in verse 20 and 21. Wisdom cries without. She utters her voice in the streets. She cries in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city, she utters her words. We got to go back to when this was written. Life was different then. The way things were done was different then than we do them now. If you want to conduct business today, you go down to the county offices or the city office or the courts, and that's where you do all the important matters. In this day, if you wanted to conduct business, you went to the gate of the city. All of the officials met at the entrance of the city. At the opening of the city, people would gather there when business was to be conducted. It would be done there. You wouldn't have attorneys for one party and attorneys for another party. You'd have those involved in doing business, making contracts, making agreements, and they would meet there. They would be witnessed by those that were present as the transactions that went on. And often they would agree, and the sign of their agreement was an exchanging of one of their shoes. So if you saw a guy walking home or a woman walking home, usually men, and they had two different kinds of shoes on, it's because they'd been downtown and they'd done business with somebody else. And if you wanted to find out who it was, you just go find the matching shoe on the other guy. So you'd go through town looking for a matching shoe, and that's how you'd find it. That's how business was done. And so we see wisdom here introduced as being in the opening of the gates, in the concourse of the city. In the city, she utters her voice. We find that wisdom is without in the streets. So first of all, wisdom being introduced, we see it's identified. And it's identified by being, first of all, a one personified, meaning it's viewed as if human. As you read through the Proverbs, wisdom speaks as a person speaking, giving counsel, giving instruction, giving understanding. So wisdom, we see right in the beginning, is personified as a person. Actually, we find wisdom fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. If you want to look at wisdom in all of its human fullness and how it acts and how it behaves and how it talks and how it thinks and how it reacts, then you study the life of Christ. Because true wisdom comes from God, and Jesus is, was, and always shall be God, God the Son. We also see it in the writings of the prophets in the Old Testament and in the New Testament teachers as well. So as we see in point four, true wisdom is recorded for us in the Word, or we would call it the Bible, the Word of God. So as you pick up this book and you begin to read it and study it and learn from it, you are reading a book that's filled with wisdom, with instruction, with good wisdom, with good instruction, with a kind of training and instruction that leads to a good result, one that you can rest in, one that you can have confidence in, one that you can trust in, one that is steadfast and sure. When you read something from the Scripture, a promise from the Bible, and it's wisdom speaking, you can put your eternity on what that says. You may not fully understand it. You may not fully comprehend it. But one thing you can do is you can believe that what you have read from wisdom, you can count on it no matter how things may look at the present. So we see, first of all, wisdom is personified. It's identified. B, where is wisdom found? Its location. What we find in these verses is out in the open. It's not hidden. Nothing necessary in divine wisdom is ever hidden. If you want to find the wisdom of God, it's there. You can find it. All you have to do is ask God to give it. Whether you're a Christian or not, you can ask God for wisdom. As a believer, when you ask God for wisdom, He tells us that we are to ask believing that He has given us the wisdom. We may not feel any different. We don't have some light shine out in the middle of the room or in the sky and a big bolt of lightning and suddenly we have wisdom. It's there. Normally, when we ask wisdom from God as a believer, we don't find a great deal of change within our behavior or our demeanor. But the Bible says when we ask God for wisdom, we're to believe that He gives it. So, believing that He's given it because we ask Him for it, then we make decisions based on what we have asked wisdom for. As an unsaved person, you also can ask God for wisdom. You can ask God for wisdom in anything you want to ask Him for. But when you ask God for wisdom, the first wise thing He's going to teach you, no matter what you may ask wisdom about, the first wise thing that God's going to tell you is that you are a sinner, lost and on your road to hell. You can ask God for wisdom in buying a car, buying a home, dating the right person, changing jobs, investing your money. You can ask for any kind of wisdom you want from God. But the first answer of wisdom that God's going to give to you is that you need a Savior. That's the first thing. If you respond to that and acknowledge your need of a Savior and you trust Jesus Christ for your salvation, then God will begin to give you wisdom for all the other things you're needing wisdom for. But the first act of teaching that God's going to give to a person who is not a believer is their great need of a Savior. So we see wisdom is out in the open. It's there. The problem with the world today is they don't want God's wisdom. They don't need God's wisdom. They shun and turn away from God's wisdom. They want to exercise their own wisdom because they believe that they are wiser than God. That God is old-fashioned or God is just a figment of the imagination. God is whatever or whoever you make it or him to be. So whatever your God may be is one thing. My God is something different. And therefore the world does not need wisdom from God. Even though wisdom is out in plain view, say, here I am. I'm standing in the important places. I'm standing in the capital of every state in America. I'm standing in the capital of every nation in the world. I'm standing in the United Nations. I'm standing in the White House. I'm standing in the Congress. I'm standing in the Senate. I'm here and open. All you have to do is recognize me and ask me and acknowledge me and I will direct you. Wisdom is out in the open. Wisdom, too, is where the people are. We see that the Proverbs says, she cries in the chief places. She utters her voices in the streets. In the opening of the gates, she's there where the people are, where important transactions are made, where life is lived on everyday streets in every home in America, every home in the world. Wisdom is there just waiting for someone to listen and respond to it. It's there. Wisdom is out where the people are. We find that the message of wisdom is clearer than we like to often admit. We also see that most people know more about wisdom than they like to admit. Because there are often times when people know the things they're doing and the decisions they're making are not good. There are times that people haven't thought through the decisions that they've made. Many of the world's decisions that are made are not thought through. It's what's convenient for the moment. What will bring peace, as they call it. Our Lord said that in the last days there would be a continual cry for peace, but that peace would not come. Are we living in that day? I think so. A continual cry throughout the world is peace. We want peace. We want to do this to live peaceful. We want to not do this so we don't stir up trouble so we can have peace. Peace. And there is no peace except in Jesus Christ. So we find that wisdom is introduced. It's identified and it's told where to be found. The second thing I want us to see is that wisdom challenges the hearers. Wisdom challenges the hearers. Verse 22 of Proverbs 1. How long, ye simple ones? And simple ones are people who have no understanding. People who don't know much about life, or they've chosen not to know much about life. How long will ye simple ones love your simple living, your lack of understanding, your lack of wisdom? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Well, we see, first of all, point A, wisdom sounding. The warning is being sounded from wisdom. The question is asked, how long? How long? How long what? How long will the simple? Or A, those ignorant through carelessness or indifference? How long will the simple love their simplicity? Or their careless and indifferent lifestyle. There are people often brought face to face with God through a Christian, through a book they read or a tract that's given to them or some testimony that someone gives, brought face to face with the reality that there is a God and they make a decision based on what they choose at the time. And many times those people choose to ignore it or they choose to be indifferent. I don't need that. That may be good for you, but it's not good for me. I don't believe that way. I don't believe that there is a God. I don't believe that there is a heaven. I don't believe that there is a hell. Indifference. And wisdom says, how long are you going to live in your simple, careless, indifferent way? How long? You see the tragedy of all this is? People live their life and come to the end of life thinking they were right. And because they rejected the wisdom of God, they find in the end that they were wrong, but it's too late then to do something about it. That's the tragedy. There have been more people die and go to hell on the reasoning of good intentions or good living than there have been on people who have just been blatant and indifferent toward the gospel. Wisdom says, how long will you live in simplicity? B, how long will the scoffers or those who hold things in contempt and ridicule? They hear the truth, they ridicule the truth. They laugh and mock at the one who's speaking the truth. They look at them behind their back and make faces or scorn or just shut them off in their mind saying, I don't need to hear this. This is absolutely insane. How long will you scorners delight, wisdom says, in your scorning? C, will fools or those who hate knowledge because of its restraints, how long will the fools hate knowledge or biblical knowledge? Notice, if you have knowledge, you're not a fool. But if you think you have knowledge and you don't have knowledge, you may think that you're wise, but the Bible says you're a fool. A lot of people use that word loosely, but we're warned in Scripture to be very careful about using or calling someone a fool. Because a fool in Scripture, if you read it out and study it, is an unsaved person who chooses not to follow after wisdom and God. And they live their life in their own foolishness and die and go to hell without Christ. How long will you simple live in your simplicity? How long will you scorners live in your scorning? How long will you fools live in hating true biblical knowledge? So the warning is sounded. How long? Then the second warning, there's a call to repentance. Thank God for repentance. Thank God for the call to repentance. Thank God that He is still in the calling business. The unfortunate thing is there are more people today denying the call of God than receiving it. There are more people brazen and bold in their denying the Lord, in their calling out to God. But yet the call is there. How long will you live that way? A doubt planted in the mind. Where is your lifestyle leading you? Where are your decisions taking you? Are you finding the joy and peace and long-term happiness that you thought you would in the earthly decisions that you're making? How long? Well, why don't you turn and be helped? Turn at my reproof. Reproof means I'm telling you that the way you're going is not the best. I'm giving you an alternative here. I'm giving you another option. What are you going to do with it? Turn at my reproof. Be helped. That is, if you will repent. The word repent means to change someone's mind about something. Let me give you an illustration. I get in my car and I've decided I'm going to drive to a particular grocery store. Well, on my way to that grocery store, I change my mind and go to a different store. Now, what I did is I repented. I repented of the first store and went to the second store. I changed my mind about where I was going and went in a different direction. That's what repentance is. So to repent when wisdom calls is to say, you know what? I don't think I have it all together. I don't think that I know everything. You know, I need some help here, and I think God is the one that can give me this help. I think that God is the one that can give me the direction that I need to go. I think I need to stop listening to the counsel of the world and start listening to the counsel of the Bible. I think that the direction I'm going is not going to end in a good way, and I believe that the direction that God can lead me will be a good result and a good end. Therefore, I will change my direction. I repent. I repent of what I'm doing. I repent of where I'm going, and I turn and follow after the instruction of wisdom and God. So what do we see? Wisdom says, if you will repent, if you will turn when I reprove you, here's what I'll do. Wisdom says, I will pour out my Spirit upon you, and I will make known my words unto you. Wisdom says, if you will turn to me and follow me, you will know God, and you will know the plan of God for your life. That's what wisdom says. So every person that has been born again has been given that ability to know the plan of God and to know God. If you're here today and you know Christ as your Savior, you have been given that ability by God Almighty. It's not anything magical or you have to go digging for it. It's there. Because you have turned at the reproof of wisdom and trusted Christ as Savior, and wisdom has given you His Spirit, her Spirit, whatever you want to call it, and made known the words of God unto you. You see, in our notes, we have the call of repentance. When we turn in reproof, we are helped if we repent. And wisdom says, I will pour out my Spirit on you. I'll make known my words to you. In other words, if we turn to God, He will give us what we need to know and what we need to do. The usual reason for our confusion as Christians about life is our failure to do right. We'll seek after God for salvation, but after that, I think I can handle this, Lord. I think I can plan out my life. I think I can make my own decisions. If I need you, I'll call you, but otherwise, I'll run the show myself. It's like buying software. You buy software for your computer, and they give you the technical phone number to call if you run into a problem. This ought to work itself. You just put it in. It ought to go onto your computer. It ought to come up and it ought to work the way it's supposed to. If you need technical help, then call us. Otherwise, don't bother us. God says, listen, you need me in all parts of your life as a believer. You need to be asking me help about everything. You need to let me help you in making decisions that you make every moment of every day. Some believer will speak back and say, what? Does God think I don't have any sense? I can't make any of my own choices? And the answer from God is, oh, you can make your own choices, but they're always going to be wrong unless I have led you in making that choice. We need a total dependence upon God for direction as believers. Wisdom says, turn at my reproof and I will enable you, I will teach you, I will instruct you. So warning and introduction and challenges. Now we come to the part where this warning from wisdom has some meat to it. Verse 24. Wisdom says, because I have called and you have refused. Wisdom is speaking to those who have the opportunity to respond, the believer and the unbeliever, remembering that the first wise thing that an unbeliever learns is that they need a Savior and how to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's the first lesson that wisdom teaches an unbeliever. And if that unbeliever will not respond to that first lesson, wisdom will give no further instruction. And then that unbeliever is left on their own to make their own choices and go their own way and end up being destroyed in the end and dying without Christ. That's a tragic way to live. On the flip side of that, wisdom comes to the sinner. The sinner trusts Christ, listens to the first lesson of wisdom, trusts Christ as Savior. Then wisdom says, okay, now I want to be there. I want to teach you. I want to be in every part of your life. And so we make decisions. We either choose to accept and let wisdom be active in our life, or we choose to filter out where we don't think we need it. So anybody, an unbeliever or a believer who does not have wisdom involved in every area of their life, wisdom says, I called and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. When your fear comes as desolation, and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish comes upon you, then shall you call on me, and I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, because they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not heed any of my counsel. They despised my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the prosperity of fools will destroy them. Wisdom says, let me strengthen this warning, this call that I've given to you. First of all, one, refusal on the part of the obstinate hearer. Refusal. I, wisdom, have called. I've reached out. How does wisdom call and reach out? By teachers of biblical truth, by the Word of God itself, by examples of obedient believers in the life of a person, or many other ways that wisdom makes itself known and reaches out to people, to save and unsaved alike. See, God has tried to get His message across. God says, here's the message, listen to it. But then the one says, I have been refused and rejected. It's a serious matter when God speaks to your heart and you reject it. It's a serious matter when God tries to lead you down a certain path and you refuse to go. It's a serious matter when God is trying to enable you and instruct you and help you and you say to Him, I don't need it. I don't want it. Preacher, I never talk that way to God. I never turn Him off. But let me ask you this. Do you always ask Him for wisdom in every area of your life? Every area of your life. Well, you know, there's certain things I don't really need God's wisdom. I've been doing it so long, and I know how to do it, and I know how to fry an egg. I know how to put toast in the toaster. I don't need God's wisdom there. Well, what about if your toaster has a short wire in it, and you don't know it, and you just happen to ask God for wisdom that morning, and as you drop the bread in the toaster, you look down in there, and you see that there's a wire that doesn't look like we're supposed to be. And so you don't use that toaster that morning, because you're not sure what's going to happen. You surely don't want to burn your toast. After all, bread's expensive. And so you don't use the toaster that morning. Could it be that God just saved you a fire in your kitchen? Oh, I don't know. I guess I should have put the toast in and found out. No. Not if He pointed out to you because you prayed and asked for wisdom. And He showed you that. You see, we don't always ask God every moment for every action that we take. But believers, listen to me a minute. There shouldn't be a day that we wake up and get up without having prayed or consciously asking in our minds through our actions and activities today, Lord, I need You today. I need Your help. I need Your direction. I need Your wisdom. I need Your instruction. God, if You don't intervene in my behalf today, I'm going to totally fail. And I don't want that, Lord. I need You to help me, Father. Every day we should be asking for God's wisdom, not refusing it. And then when important things come along, at least what we call important, then when we pray and ask for wisdom, it just supplements what we've already been asking. It's not a, well, I asked God for wisdom 5 times today. No, our whole life should be that way. My whole life that day should be God's wisdom is needed in my life. And the 5 times I asked was just kind of supplements to what I've already been asking. Wisdom. Wisdom says, I called out. You did not listen. You did not hear. And so I'm going to talk to you about what happens on the refusal part of the obstinate hearer. When I reach out, I give the message. You refuse to hear it. I have been refused and disregarded. B, under 2. In general tendency, among those who disregard wisdom, biblical wisdom and instruction, this is normally what happens to those who have a flippant or a careless attitude about the Bible. Those who really aren't concerned about Christianity. Those who really don't have time for God because life is too busy. When wisdom speaks, they ignore it. They refuse it. And then the tragedy is often they don't realize what they're doing. They don't realize the depth of ignoring God. They don't realize the seriousness of ignoring biblical instruction. They don't weigh out the end result of what's going to happen if they don't follow God in this area. I've spent many years ministering in the lives of men. And I have to say that the majority of the men that I have ministered to are men who didn't take seriously God's directing them 6, 7, 10, 15, 20 years earlier. And now they're paying the price for it. Now they're reaping the consequences. Now the pain is deep. Now the hurt is there. Now the home is destroyed. Now the marriage is broken up. Now the children are living in sin. Now it's too late almost for them to do anything. And when they go back and try to repair things, those that they've hurt, those that they've ignored, those that they led down the wrong path, don't want to listen to them. And their witness, their testimony is ignored because it has no value. Why? Because 20 years earlier, when wisdom spoke, they didn't want to listen. Because wisdom didn't want to take them the way they wanted to go. And that's going to be the result. If you're here today and you ignore God's wisdom, you'll pay the price for it. Down the road, you will reap the consequences. Because wisdom says, I have called and you have refused, verse 24. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded it. But you have set it naught. You have set as nothing, unimportant, all of my counsel, and you would not follow any of my reproof upon you. So, here's what the results are. Wisdom, the refusal on the part of the obstinate hearer. Two, wisdom's reaction to that behavior on the obstinate hearer. Wisdom says, I will laugh at your calamity. Well, that seems cruel of God to laugh at me. Really? When God warned you earlier of what He wanted you to do and where you were going to end up if you didn't follow Him? And now, when wisdom says, I'm laughing at your results, you made a mockery of me, and now you're reaping the consequences? And you say, because I laugh at that, I'm being carefree and thoughtless and heartless? Where were you? What was your frame of mind when I was tenderly, lovingly, affectionately calling to you 20 years earlier? What was your response to me then? You laughed at me. You mocked at me. You made fun of me, and now the world is turned around. Now you're crying out to me as a desperation attempt. It's a serious thing when we reject the calling of God. It's a serious matter when God speaks to us and we refuse to listen to Him and follow Him. Wisdom says, I will hold you in derision. Point A, in your time of need. I will hold you in derision. Now this seems to be a little crass, but it's not. He traces the reaction of wisdom as the results of rejection begin to work themselves out. See, wisdom says, I tried to tell you and you wouldn't listen. Now you want me? Now you're in this fix because of your unwillingness to listen to me? Now you want me? I don't work that way, wisdom says. I don't just come and bail you out just so you can get out of this mess and turn around and get into another one. There's only one way that wisdom will respond when someone has really messed up their life. And that is for that person to turn at wisdom's reproof or to repent. When one has chosen to ignore wisdom, has lived a life, has brought damage to their life, and is now dealing with the damage and want God's help, the only way God says, I will help you, is for you to fall on your face and acknowledge the first statement of wisdom that I gave you. And that first statement was, you're a sinner, you need a Savior, Jesus died for you, you need to repent of your sins and trust Christ for your existence. When you do that, then God will respond. God doesn't sit in heaven twiddling His thumbs saying, boy, I just wish, and then call out a name. I just wish they would talk to me. I just need them today. Oh, I just feel so lonely because they've ignored me. God doesn't need us. God is self-existent. God's happiness comes from within God Himself. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me to be happy. God, in His mercy and in His grace, has extended Himself to us. We're the ones that need Him. We're the ones who are desperate and lost and on a road to hell without Him. We need God. Wisdom says, I will have you in derision in your time of need. B, when they call in their deep need, there is no answer because judgment is already falling. You see, often believers and unbelievers suffer the consequences of their refusal to follow wisdom. And then they cry out to God to change because the pain is so deep. The hurt is so severe. And they want God to remove the pain or lessen the hurt. And God says, I'm not going to do that. You have set in motion. You're going to reap what you sow. You're going to reap more than you sow. And you're going to reap later than you sow. You have set in motion things that cannot be reversed. God says, you're going to have to deal with it. And the only way you'll ever get help from God is to repent. To repent. Well, the next thing we see, as this warning is strengthened, the third thing, verse 29 to 31, ruin. Utter ruin. Now, this would be applicable more to those who totally reject wisdom from the beginning. Those who refuse to repent and trust Christ as Savior. Ruin. Verse 29. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Therefore will they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Foolish people. Fools. Wisdom asks up in the very beginning of the chapter, fools, how long will you hate knowledge? So ruin comes to the foolish person, the one who totally rejects God. It doesn't matter how influential a person may be in the world today. It doesn't matter what power they may wield. If they reject the wisdom of God, God says they are a fool. And the destruction will come to them as a fool. Oh, they may be high and mighty now, but the day of their fall is going to come. Ruin, third, A under three. Fools have made their own choices. Calamity is the result of their own ways. We often blame God for what we have done ourselves. B, fools have rejected attempts by wisdom, by God, to help them. C, fools will get back the results of their own foolish choices and perverse ways. They're going to get what they have sown. One, both in this life and in the life to come. And that's the tragedy. Let me say this. As honestly as I know how to say it, and with the compassion that I can muster up, what I'm saying today is serious, and sometimes I'm very pointed. But I want to say to you here, if you're without Christ as your Savior, please don't leave today without Him. Please don't reject Him. He wants to save you. He put you here to hear this message. Wisdom is crying out to you and say, you need to be saved. You need to trust me. You need to listen to me. You need to change the way you're going. You need to let me change you. Wisdom saying, please, please, don't reject me. Why? Because if you do, if you reject Christ today, you may never be given another opportunity. And to do so is to ensure your eternal ruin. Your eternal ruin. Well, what's the conclusion that wisdom gives? Thank God wisdom doesn't end with this, okay, this is how it's going to be. You're in trouble, and I'm not going to do anything about it. Wisdom has a conclusion, point three. Wisdom's conclusion, verse 32, for the turning away of the simple will slay them. Those who reject God, who don't need God, who don't want God, don't have time for God, wisdom says their own lifestyle is ultimately going to kill them. And maybe they'll live in life and do well as the world would define it. Nice home, two cars, well, it's three cars in the garage now, isn't it? Three-car garage. Used to be a two-car garage. You had a nice home, a two-car garage, two cars in it. You were really doing well. Now it's a nice home and a three-car garage and three cars in the garage and a boat in the back and a four-wheeler in the somewhere else and a camper on the side. And look what it says for verse 32. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkens unto me, now listen, whoso hearkens unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Wisdom's conclusion. First of all, fools. A, fools. Those who disregard biblical admonition and instruction. What's it going to happen to them? They're going to have destruction and ruin. Their own choices are going to destroy them. A, their own choices are going to destroy them. B, their own prosperity will become their downfall. Their carelessness, their unconcern, their carnal security produced by worldly success. And C, rebellion against God is the chief cause. Parents, if you teach your children, now listen to me, if you teach your children how to make a living in this world, you have failed them. You must teach your children how to live in this world while on their way to the next world. There's another world after this one. For many, it will be a burning, fiery furnace in which they will find themselves for eternity. For a few, it will be in the presence of God, enjoying perfection and being perfect forevermore. It's one thing to teach our children how to make a living, but the more important matter is to teach them how to live, how to make decisions that will affect them for eternity. Rebellion against God is usually the chief cause of rejection. So fools will have destruction and ruin, and two, they will end up where they are heading. They will end up where they are heading. The tragedy is those who reject God's wisdom don't see themselves as heading for destruction. They, in their mind, see themselves as heading for success and happiness, but they're heading for destruction and ruin. Fools. The conclusion for the wise. Wise men, point B. Those who regard biblical admonition and instruction and try to live by it. What is their conclusion? Security and spiritual peace. Security. Yeah, but preacher, you know what? Life's not too secure right now. Things are hard. It's tough. And I'm not having it easy in this world. That's okay. That's okay. Just endure it. Because this is just a temporary state of living. Your home is on the other side. And when you get home, it will be well. It will be secure. And there will be total peace and happiness forever, and nothing will ever disturb it. Security and spiritual peace. For those who listen, they shall dwell safely. And those who listen shall have quiet from evil fear. When evil comes, we're living in an evil day. But if you're following wisdom, you're at peace with God. Oh, you're not living in la-la land. There's a reality here. But you have everything okay between you and the Lord. And whatever He sees fit to do with your life, that's up to Him. Because you know where you're going. Therefore, you don't have fear of evil. You note you have freedom from stress and freedom from fear. And then, too, they, too, will end up where they're heading because they're going where God is leading them. Where are you headed today? That's the ultimate question. Who's making your choices for you about where you're going to end up? 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road. How about where are you going? Where are you headed when you die? Oh, but preacher, I don't like to think about dying. None of us do, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. If you don't believe that it's going to happen, take a stroll through some cemeteries. Read the dates on the tombstones. Death comes at an unpredicted time. Death takes people young and old, middle-aged, well and sick, all kinds, all types, all times. We're going to die. Where are you going to head when you die? Are you going to go to heaven or are you going to go to hell? Because you're going to go to one or the other. You're going to go to one or the other. And I say that soberly and seriously, but I say that with compassion. I thank God that I know when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. I know that not because I'm a preacher, not because I'm such a good person, because I'm not. Not because I don't sin, because I do. I know I'm going to heaven because many years ago, God's wisdom spoke to me and said, Ron, you're lost, you're undone, you're going to die and go to hell if you don't get saved. And I responded to wisdom and said, teach me how to be saved. And wisdom said, confess your sin and trust Jesus Christ for your salvation. And I did that. That's simple. You see, salvation is a gift. God offers it, you receive it. You receive it. If you're headed to hell, God's wisdom says to you today, be saved, be converted, be born again, become a Christian. If you are a Christian, wisdom says, you need me now just as desperately as you did the day I saved you. Where are you headed? Are you headed to heaven or are you headed to hell? There won't be one person walk out of this room this day and will be able to say to God, I never had a chance. I never had an opportunity. God's given it to you now, right now. What will you do with it? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Wisdom is continually crying out. Wisdom is continually saying, listen to me. I want to help you. I want to change the course of your life for good, for the better. I'm not going to take you down the path of the world. I won't teach you the instruction of the world. I'll teach you the wisdom of God. I'll take you down the path that God wants you to go. Wisdom says, but if you'll go that path, you'll be very, very happy with the eternal results. And the opposite of that is wisdom saying, if you don't listen to me, when you come to the end, you'll be terribly, terribly disappointed and you will cry out and I will laugh at your calamity because you rejected Jesus Christ as your Savior. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder how many of us can raise our hand today and say, preacher, I came to a place in my life where I realized I was lost and undone without Christ, and I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and asked Him to save me, and I asked Him to forgive me of my sins. I have done that. I know. I listened to wisdom, and I know today because of what I did in responding to wisdom's instruction, when I die, I know I'm going to go to heaven. How many of you can say that with your heads bowed, eyes closed, if you can raise your hand and say that? Hold them up just for a minute. I want to look around. I know. I know. All right, you may put them down. Some of you did not raise your hand. My question would be, why? Is it because you have not responded to wisdom's instruction? Is it because you have not trusted Christ as Savior? Is it because you don't need it? It's not important? You don't believe it? My friend, you may not believe it now, but one day you will, and then it will be too late. Too late. If you're here and you did not raise your hand earlier as being a Christian, would you raise it now and say, preacher, I'd like to become a Christian. I'd like to know the Lord is my Savior. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to talk to anybody about you when you're gone. I just want to know you care enough for your own soul that you'd ask me to pray for it. Anyone? I want to know Christ as my Savior. I don't want to die and go to hell. Would you pray for me? Anyone? Now, Father, you've seen the hands that were raised. You know those who know you, and you know those who raise their hands that they know you. You also know, Lord, those who didn't raise their hand for one reason or another. I don't know. That's between them and you. But I pray, Father, if they truly do not know Christ as Savior, that the Spirit of God would take the message today and drive it deep within them. Remove the false peace that Satan has given them. Remove the false joy that the devil has placed in their life. Make them miserable in their sin. Make them fear eternal destruction. Bring them to the place of trusting Christ as Savior, and may they willingly, humbly bow their knee and call on the name of the Lord before it's eternally too late. So, Father, we commit this message to you. Help us to listen when you speak and follow your instruction. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being patient with us. Thank you for giving us continued counsel and instruction, many times repeating the same thing over and over because we're so hard-headed and don't receive it. But thank you, Father, for being there. And thank you that our hope is in you. And thank you that we know when it's all said and done, we know on the authority of the Scripture, we've trusted Christ, and we'll be in heaven. Keep us this day, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.